exciting game at the arena last night as they pick up the win over Rapid City Stevens in overtime, 75-71. And, John, one of those games, again, we saw a pretty hot start by our team, although it was matched by Stevens this time. Then we're in catch-up mode for about two and a half quarters, second, third, into the middle of the fourth. But, you know, we always hung around, and that gave us the chance at the end.
Yeah, both teams really, you know, Stevens kind of started out slow in terms of the first minute or two, but once they got rolling, yeah, we ended up down at one at the end of the first quarter, and same thing at the end of the half. So, I mean, it was the kind of game that went back and forth, possession by possession. You know, Stevens was able to stretch it out to nine there in the third quarter, and I'm looking at that going, okay, now we got to respond, see what kind of group we have, and our kids stuck with it, and to their credit, they battled the rest of the game, and we got it to overtime. We're able to come out with the victory.
You know, it got a little hairy there in the third quarter. You mentioned that 9-point deficit, really. That was the kind of the string where Tanner Evers kind of held us in there. He finished with 25, Kobe Bush with 27. But, you know, that might have been key right there in the third quarter with Tanner. He was just hitting a lot of twos. I think there was one three in there.
Yeah, actually, looking at our stats, you know, Tanner had 10 points, 5 baskets. We didn't have a three in the third quarter. They had 3 threes that quarter. They scored 20 points. We scored 16. You know, anytime you give up that many points in a quarter, if you don't have somebody step up on the offensive end, it's going to be awful tough. To Tanner's credit, he was that guy. You know, he had a matchup that, again, he felt was in his favor. He really likes to run at a ball screen and slip quick. He's athletic around the hoop. So he can score, even if there's a defender there, he can kind of jump over him. But at the same time, you know, those other guys, you got to give the rest of the guys credit. They saw that he had the mismatch. They gave it to him. There was no hero ball last night. We played as a team, and good things happened.
You know, and just so many kids stepped up. Tegan Evers can add a tough night shooting, but yet fourth quarter and overtime, I think he ended up with 12, and 9 of those 12 came in the fourth quarter and overtime, so crunch points.
Absolutely. You know, Tegan, he's a gamer, man. He's been around, you know, his older brother Ty. He was a good player for us a couple of years ago. I mean, Tegan's been around this program for a long time, and he's got his year of experience last year. I think now he's kind of starting to figure out where he can get his buckets, what he's got. He's so athletic on the perimeter. He's really good driving to the basket. When he starts doing that, then he sees the ball go in, stays aggressive, and then he can spot up on the perimeter, and teammates find him, and he can hit a shot.
And, you know, just a lot of contributions there all around. Kobe Bush just had a great night and 27 points, 13 rebounds. We can get a double-double like that, had a couple of sweet assists. Boy, that pick and roll that he and Cooper Freiberger pulled off there, I believe it was in the overtime, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, and again, like, I mean, these kids, they all know their role. And they're being a star in their role. So, like, Cooper came, he recognized, hey, that's a great time for a ball screen. He set one. He rolled. He caught it under control. You know, a lot of times kids will roll like that. They'll catch it and give Stevens' defender credit. He rotated, and Cooper caught it under control, scored it. He didn't knock the kid over. He didn't fumble the ball. He caught that thing. He went up and scored. So Cooper did the same thing. Give a lot of credit to him. You know, you look at Nathan Burns, tough man offensively. I know he was down on himself for that. Had some turnovers that were uncharacteristic. But at the same time, he made a couple plays, turned it over on one end. He tipped the ball on the open layup on the other end. So you go down the line, you know, Jet battling his ankle. He had a layup in that third quarter to kind of give us a little momentum. And you just keep going down the line with Mason and Cooper and Hayden and Derek and Blake, all those guys. They all stepped up and played their role.
And, you know, give Stevens credit, too. They found their hot guy, too, and that Paulson kid. And, boy, if he was set, he was square. You almost didn't even need to look at the basket.
No. And we knew coming in, you know, he's the returning experience that they got. And we know that he was capable of that. What I didn't like the first half was we let him go to his left hand time and time again. So at halftime, we talked about pushing him to his right. Granted, he still did that in the third and fourth quarters. He went to his right, but it wasn't as easy for him. He wasn't as comfortable doing that as he was going to his left. But you're right, when he can stand in that corner and Poirier can come off and get in the paint and find him, that shot's as good as gold, man.
Well, now it's Rapid City Central coming in today. They had a win over Mitchell last night, I believe, by 16 points, and they had the lead pretty much built up by halftime. And the stat that really pops out in the first half, Rapid City Central was 16 of 20 from the field. You'll win just a couple of ball games shooting 80% from the field.
Yeah, that's a coach's dream. You go into a stat, you go into a half, and you, holy cow, guys, we shot 80%.
I mean, what would you say to your team at half?
You know, there's not, excuse me, there's not a lot you can say. Ball's going in. Now, watching the film last night, they got a lot of steals and a lot of transition layups. They had 17 steals last night. Mitchell turned it over 21 times. Central had 17 steals. And they're long, like I said before, they're long and athletic. And if they get those steals, they're off to the races, and it's a layup every time. They're going to be tough to catch. So we got to make sure tonight we take care of the basketball. We don't give them those easy transition layups, especially early, because then they start to feel good. They get into a rhythm, and then it's a lot tougher for us.
Then I believe you said last night, mentioned last night too, they aren't afraid to be a little physical inside.
Definitely not. You know, they're big, strong kids. They got probably three or four. They're just, I don't know, you look at them and they're just big and strong. The Williams kid inside, he's returning from last year. He's not Kevin Durant, but his body reminds me of that because he's long and lanky, but he's strong. And you wouldn't look at him and say, wow, that kid's really big and strong, but he is, you know, 6'6", athletic. They got a couple more guys that are 6'4", 6'5", big and strong guys, tough guys play on the inside, and then their guards are 6'1", 6'2", 6'4", with long arms. So it'll be a really tough matchup for us today.
You know, they did lose quite a bit off of last year's state tournament team, particularly that backcourt. Those two guys in the backcourt were pretty good players, and the coach's kid, TJ Hay, Dylan Hay, I believe his name was, and then Caleb Walden.
Brandon. Walden Brandon.
I knew there was a hyphen in there.
Yeah.
You know, I know Caleb's playing college ball somewhere, and, you know, so, you know, TJ did have some things to replace, but obviously, you know, they did start 0-3. They always play that Wyoming tournament, which is obviously pretty tough competition, and I know they're going to be feeling good now after bouncing back and getting the road win last night.
Yeah, you know, they're in a similar boat we are in terms of you have guys in the starting lineup that are starting that might be juniors or seniors, but at the same time, that varsity game experience isn't there yet. You know, and some of our kids, we're three games in for some of these kids in any real varsity experience. Now, they've had to grow up a lot faster because we played three really close games. So they've had to grow up, but our kids have done a good job of that. Now, you look at Central, and like you mentioned, those two guards, these guys starting for them today are the ones that were guarding them in practice last year. So that made them better. So they don't have the varsity experience necessarily, but they're good, experienced basketball players, and they know how to play the game well.
And just kind of look at AA overall here. We're into the second weekend of the season, so it's still early, obviously, but I'm sure you kind of kept track of some of the scores. Yankton off to an undefeated start to the season, although they went overtime with Brandon Valley. Rapid City Stevens, though, beat Brandon Valley on a comeback last weekend out in Rapid. Watertown beats Harrisburg last night. Lincoln defeats O'Gorman last night. And I think what we know right now about AA is we really don't know.
And as coaches are talking at the start of the year and people are asking, who's going to be good this year, you look at all 17 or 18 teams, whatever we got, you can make a case for every single one of them to be there in the end. So there's just so much parity in our game, in our division. And you're right, as you watch scores, there's going to be nights when you go, holy cow, how'd that team beat so-and-so? I think what I've learned looking at them all is you can't take any of these things for granted. I mean, you look and you watch Lincoln roll Watertown the first weekend, you kind of go, okay, well, there's a transition period up there. But obviously Watertown figured something out because they were knocked off Harrisburg. And Harrisburg is considered a top team. So you're exactly right. It's going to take a game-by-game, step-by-step process and whoever is standing at the end will have earned it.
And just to wrap things up here, and I know Coach Stabner said this a couple of times in the pregame last night for Stevens, at this point we're just working on ourselves, and yeah, it's December 15th, that's exactly what you're doing. You're looking to see what combinations work, who kids work better with how. You know, I go back to that pick and roll in the overtime that Colby and Cooper pulled off. You know, you can tell that's something they've probably done 1,000 times in their life playing together. And, you know, you just look for little things like that, and, you know, different combinations do different things.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when you have a group of kids like our junior class who've played together for so long, I mean, Cooper and Colby haven't played on the varsity level a ton of time, but they've been playing together for years. So you're exactly right. Colby's got that chemistry down with Coop. Coop's got that chemistry down. And then it's acclimating them, those guys that haven't been with them. You know, Jet, Mason, Hayden, Derek, Blake, Colton, if he gets on the floor, you know, stuff like that. Getting all those kids acclimated together, we got to start seeing that and toying with some things that way so we know come January, February, who we can trust and rely on.
You know, and just to wrap it up here, I know we got to get going to the arena here, and well, in about 2 hours, we're going to be tipping off the JV, so that'd be the last thing is, you know, it's, I think I said it last night, about 18 hours, you're going to be back on the court, and, you know, hopefully the kids got home, went some rest, you know, that was extra minutes. I know the two Evers and Kobe both played some big minutes last night. I guess if you're going to be in this situation, early season's the best time to have it. The legs are there, but hopefully we got some rest because you got to be ready to go again because Central will be waiting.
You're exactly right. You know, I left the arena last night, and I think I watched their bus roll in. So they came up last night, got in the hotel, I'm sure went to bed. You know, our kids, you know, Ryan's hanger does a great job. They offer some appetizers and food and stuff to the teams and fans, and you know, and that's part of it too. I told our kids, you know, go and enjoy yourself a little bit, sit down, have some good food, you know, thank them. But then, yeah, get home, get off your feet, rest your feet, legs, you know, ice bath, whatever it is you got to do, because you're exactly right. The game doesn't stop. We the process continues. We move on. Central's coming in, and they're going to be ready to go, and we need to be as well.
John Scouten, head coach of Huron Tiger Boys Basketball. And again, 10:30 start for JV. We'll look for a 1:30 tip-off this afternoon for the varsity, and that game will be here or over on Tiger 95. Remember, the girls' game will be an hour later due to the Mountain Time Zone. That'll be a 2:30 tip-off here on the KOKK. Still to come, we'll have some previews of Sanborn Central Woonsocket at Hitchcock 2, their girls and boys basketball, coming up next year on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're going to talk Sanborn Central Woonsocket basketball. Both Sanborn Central Woonsocket teams are off to 2-0 starts on the season. Both wins coming in the 281 Conference. A week ago today, the two teams opened at home with a sweep of Sunshine Bible. And this past Tuesday, games we had on the air over on KOKK, a sweep of Hitchcock Tulare on the road at Hitchcock. Tim McCain is back as head coach of the Blackhawk girls basketball team. He says he has a solid senior bunch to work with this year.
Yeah, we do return a good group of girls that you know, got some experience last year, and you know, hopefully that plays out in our advantage throughout the year.
Well, if that good group of seniors, talk about the team. What are some of the things that you look at to do well this year?
Well, we're kind of, you know, looking a little bit of post play, but our outside shooting is, you know, definitely improved a little bit. So, you know, we're hoping that we have a little bit of inside outside, and you know, our posts can step out and shoot the ball from the perimeter. So, you know, it kind of gives us a little bit of advantage. I think of, you know, other teams, if they're going to play us man, that their posts have to step out and guard us.
We'll talk about the defensive side of the ball. Sounds like that's the area you do want to see improvement.
Oh, definitely. You know, defense is where you always got to, you know, try to keep improving at, and you know, being aware of what they have as weapons, and trying to adjust, and you know, see what they're going to do to try to combat what you have planned.
And that's Tim McCain, head girls coach for Sanborn Central Woonsocket, returning for his second year as the solo head coach of the Blackhawks is Rod Weber. Like the girls, the Blackhawk boys have come in with a record of 2-0 to start the season. A lot of seniors lost off of last year's team, but a couple of kids to build around this year. And Coach Weber, talk about some of the things you've seen here during these first two games. I guess you've had to play a little youth that hasn't had a lot of varsity time. So maybe it sounds like a few mistakes out there, maybe a little more than you'd like to see, but that's what the beginning of the season is for.
We had a lot of turnovers and, you know, with limited pressure, so that's something we certainly need to clean up. We can't win games with 20 turnovers, so that's just something that our younger guys are going to have to, you know, improve on for sure. So, but I think we will. You know, it's just going to take a little bit of time. We're the 281 champs from last year, and we'd like to defend that, and I think we've got an opportunity to do that again this year.
We'll talk about how your roster is made up. Does look to me like you do have some pretty physical guys that can get out there and play.
I'd like to say we're physical, but you know, other times I look and it, we're not. But Noah Dixon coming back from last year, he had a double-double averaging that. And, you know, Tater Moody, he's a guy inside, about 6'4". And with a few guards to help him out, we're hoping that we can play a little bit inside. You know, you got to make your layups, take care of the basketball, and just do good fundamental basketball, and I think we'll be okay.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you are the defending 281 Conference champs. You finally broke through in that last year. Tell us about the conference as a whole this year. How do you think things will be playing out?
You know, I think it's a little bit wide open. You know, right on paper, you think Highmore Herald's going to be the favorite. They got everybody coming back, but you know, I think us and Woolsey, and there's some teams coming up. You know, Springs is improving, and everybody has been doing pretty good here, improving the program. So I think it's going to be a tough battle. I don't think there's going to be a clear favorite this year. And usually the last few years we've had, like, maybe one or two top three teams.
Yep.
But this year I think it's a little more wide open. But I still have to say Highmore's got the favorite. But I'd like to think that we should be considered in that game.
Rod Weber, head boys coach for Sanborn Central Woonsocket, and both Blackhawk teams, the girls and boys, have started off the season at 2-0, and both wins coming in the 281 Conference. Off this weekend, they will play Mount Vernon Plankinton in a doubleheader coming up on Tuesday. More to come here on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk some Hitchcock Tulare basketball. The Hitchcock Tulare girls are now 1-1 on the season after they defeated Wessington Springs on a Thursday night, 57-36. They opened their season with a loss to Sanborn Central Woonsocket this past Tuesday. They'll be hosting Langford for a doubleheader, boys and girls, coming up later today. Christy Smith is in her second year as head coach of the Hitchcock Tulare girls. And she talked about this bunch, said they have worked hard, and they spent a lot of time in the gym this past summer.
Well, the girls put in a lot of hard work in the off-season. You know, we had morning workouts four times a week and then open gym after that. And then we played in a league up at Aberdeen Central, so that was good to get the girls in and see some other teams that we don't normally see during the regular season. And then, you know, once all of our girls play volleyball, so obviously they're busy with that, staying active. And then after volleyball, they had a few weeks where the girls got in the gym, open gym, you know, kind of captain-led thing. So I feel like we've had a lot of time, even though it's our first game, I feel like we've had a lot of preparation and we're ready to go.
Talk a little bit about this group, Coach. Who are you expecting to kind of lead them out there?
You know, this year we only have one junior and one senior, but we were expecting that. Those classes just don't have very many players throughout the past few years. And so we're led by our senior, Dawson Otto. She's a returning starter, very veteran post player, so we'll look for her to hold it down in the post for us. Elizabeth Salmon, first-team all-conference last year. She's our returning junior guard. She led us offensively and defensively last year, so we're definitely going to be looking for her to, you know, take charge this year as well. And then we are having three sophomores start this year, and those girls played, are all returning letter winners. You know, Dana Peterson was always our first girl off the bench last year, and actually our team's second-leading scorer, so she's just playing a different role, you know, as a starter this year. And then Kennedy Heenander in the point guard position, and Ashley Masson is our center. So, you know, and then we have a young core, and it's our first game, so we'll see who's kind of stepping up and making plays for us. But that's kind of our starting five.
Well, you can kind of see this shaping up that you're kind of a special group here and kind of a youth movement going on here.
Yes, you know, last year we had those five freshmen, and it was nice. They got a lot of playing time on the varsity, but just in a different role. And so, you know, they'll be stepping up into a bigger role this year. But yet they're sophomores. They have a lot of experience under their belt, so that's nice to see.
Now, they do have a game under their belt, Sanborn Central Woonsocket here. Do you get tape on that here for the first game of the year? Do you scout them like that?
Well, I actually went to Woonsocket on Saturday, so I got to see the game firsthand, because otherwise it would have been hard to get film on them at such a short notice. So got to see them and play SBA. The only thing is, you know, SBA plays a zone defense, and we're going to be playing a man, so I wasn't able to really see what they do against the man defense, but got to check that out in our JV game.
And then one last question here before we get into it. Let's go back to the off season here. Is it hard to kind of keep track of where kids are going and what they're doing? Because there's always that possibility that you could do too much or you could get in trouble with the state. Is that tough to kind of manage that with the kids?
You know, we like to let our kids have the weekends, and then during the week, I don't know, I feel like the state's gotten a lot more lax on the rules. Like, they used to be a lot stricter, and basically now, you know, there's just a two-week period where you can't see the player, or excuse me, a week over July 4th. And so it's actually a nice break for the coaches and the players. And, you know, we have a lot of kids, we're a farming community, we have a lot of kids in 4-H and doing, you know, FFA trips over the summer and things like that. And we understand that and respect that. And I love to see kids involved in many other things. So when they're able to get to the gym and do things, you know, we really appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for joining us here. Good luck in the game. We'll talk to you on the road.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Christy Smith there, head coach of the Hitchcock Tulare Patriot Girls. We'll send it back to the studios. When we return here to Hitchcock, we'll take a look at your starting lineups, your officials, and we'll be ready for tip-off at Sanborn Central Woonsocket at Hitchcock Tulare. The girls' game is next on 1210 KOKK.
Hitchcock Tulare head coach Christy Smith, girls basketball head coach. We now turn our attention to Hitchcock Tulare boys. They're 0-2 on the season. So they lost to Sanborn Central Woonsocket Tuesday, then Wessington Springs this past Thursday. Hitchcock Tulare struggled a little bit to score points here to open up the season in boys basketball. Wayne Smith is their head coach. And Coach Smith, first off, talks about the fact that they're also dealing with a few injuries that kind of go back to the high school football season.
Unfortunately, yes, we have some injuries. A major one is Logan. We was hoping that he would be our fifth starter, but at this moment he's out, so the next man steps up.
Well, as the old saying goes, that means next man up, and I guess you have a chance to learn some things about some other kids now as well.
Yes, we do. I would think that the experience of getting some playing time for those young men who haven't played, that should help out a little bit.
Well, the nucleus of the team, I assume, are your seniors, Grant Hamilton and Ty Hofer. Hofer in particular, just a great athlete to watch.
Well, yes, he is. We're waiting to see what he's going to break out. This should be his breakout year. I'm hoping that he becomes a very prominent player for us and does something special.
Well, talk what you've seen so far in this young season. What are some of the things it looks like you're going to do well this year?
Well, at this moment, we're going to put everything on defense. We're going to play really hard defense, man-to-man. We're going to communicate and see what happens.
On the other end, where do you want to see these guys maybe get some improvement here now, at least during the early part of the season?
Well, like I say, the chemistry. We got some young men that haven't played before, so now they have to step up. So we're going to see what happens.
Wayne Smith, head boys basketball coach for the Hitchcock Tulare Patriots, 0-2 to start off the season, and the Patriots hosting Langford in a doubleheader, I believe an afternoon matchup today. Still more to come here as we get things wrapped up next year on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning. We wrap things up here on Dakota Sports Saturday. I'm going to talk a little bit about our unique situation we had on Tuesday. Here on Tiger Girls basketball team hosting a Sioux Falls of Roosevelt at the arena. And just under a minute gone in the second half, all of a sudden the power went out at the arena, went out for a large chunk of Huron. I was told about 3,000 customers were without power for at least a little while. The power outage in Huron lasted a little longer than that, but I was just moving along with my play-by-play. I was kind of interested to see what it sounded like when it happened, and, well, I just kind of faded away. A lot of passing around the perimeter. Koyma, top of the key, comes right side Nielsen. And all of a sudden, the lights just went off. I still have power, as near as I can tell, but the lights went off. Well, I don't think I recall this ever happening at the Huron Arena. The lights are off. The safety lights have come on, and I think we do have a power outage in here because I'm losing my power. Let's take a Big D's timeout of 2 minutes, 2 minutes on Dakota Sports.
Surprised me a little in that I just kind of faded away there, and so I was on the air for a few seconds after the power outage, but after that, then, of course, things faded away, and then we waited around 47 minutes before we were able to resume play. After the game, I talked to head coach Tim Budenhagen about that. He had never been in that type of situation before, losing the power, and I just asked him, what do you say to him? What do you do? You can't really prepare for that sort of thing, so how do you approach that?
Right, I didn't. We just said keep your focus, stay patient, relax, and then once the lights go on, we got to reboot again. And then we took them to the locker room, and they were singing and jumping up and down, so I figured that they were loose. But then when the lights went back on, you know, then I think we wasted some of that energy that we had. So I didn't know what to say. I've never been in this situation before. I wanted to stay out here to begin with because the crowd was getting into it. I wanted to feed off that energy. And then when it kind of quieted down, I thought, let's just go to the locker room where you guys could sit down, relax a little bit. Maybe that was a bad omen. Maybe we relaxed a little bit too much.
Here on Tiger Girls basketball, Coach Tim Budenhagen getting his comments from this past Tuesday. And again, a unique situation. Second time I can remember that happening to me, having a power outage during a game. It happened to me about 20 years ago. I want to say it was 1998. I know it was a state football semifinal with Corsica hosting Hitchcock Tulare. And we weren't too far into the game that night, but we were in, I'd say, at least midway through the first quarter. I believe Hitchcock Tulare had already scored, and then the lights went out, and I think it was close to 2 hours before play resumed in the Corsica, but they did eventually get everything lined back up and going. For Coach Budenhagen, as he said, that was the first time he'd ever experienced something of that nature, but it just goes to show you can see everything if you stay in this business long enough. And kind of amazing, too. Huron snaps a 29-game losing streak in the process that night, and you can remember it for that. And you can remember it for the fact we had a power outage that stopped play for over 45 minutes. Coming up today, we wrap up the Rapid City weekend for Huron Tiger basketball. The boys at the arena today will be hosting Rapid City Central.
and the lower level games will get underway at 10:30 with the varsity set to tip off at 1:30 this afternoon. We'll have that on the air, 1:10 pregame on Tiger 95. The girls at Rapid City Central, so in the Mountain Time Zone, they'll just be an hour later, so they will shoot for a 2:30 tip off from a Rapid City, and we'll be on the air 2:10 with the pregame right here on a KOKK for high school basketball here on Tigers Rapid City Central to complete our weekend. Mike Hendrickson and the Sports Max coming up shortly. Up next, though.